Welcome to the Rendezvous de Cajun Cajun radio and TV show live from the historic Liberty Theater in downtown Eunice, Louisiana. I'm happy to announce that tonight we have playing for us the Jambalaya Cajun Band. Let's give them all here. Or maybe not. It's Mardi Gras. We also have tonight special guests. Basile Mardi Gras Association will be here with us tonight. And Miss George Emanuel. She will be here explaining some of these traditions that you'll see tonight. Before we get started, let me knock off some of this stuff I have to do. The sponsors for tonight's show, for the Rendezvous de Cajun show every Saturday night, is the City of Eunice, the Jean Lafitte National Historical Park and Preserve, the St. Landry Parish Tourist Commission, the Cajun French Music Association, they're here, John Gilry Allstate Insurance of Eunice, and the Best Stop Supermarket of Louisiana. Oh, of Scott, Louisiana. We thank our sponsors. That's why we're here every Saturday night. And your MC tonight, back again for a special appearance, the one who was the first MC up here and may end up being the last. 24 years, who was counting? He was. Sir, Dr. Barry Onselet is here tonight. Told you. You see? So now, without any further ado, yes, I would like to give a warm welcome to the Jambalaya Cajun Band.
Nous avait dit que le Jambalaya Cajun Band après venir à soir, ça semble comme s'il y a des Mardi Gras qui a pris leur place. Ordinairement, pour jouer les tambours en arrière, c'est Tony Huval, je ne connais pas qui c'est à soir. Je suis la basse, ordinairement, c'est Ken David, ça semble comme si c'est Kenny David. L'autre bord là-bas, Roberta Dumatré, Monsieur Bobby Dumatré. Je ne connais pas qui c'est qui a pris sa place. Dessus l'accordéon, ordinairement, c'est Monsieur Reggie Mott. Et Mardi Gras qui a fait stand-in. Et dessus le violon, bien sûr, mais c'est Terry Huval, ordinairement. Et je ne sais pas si on va savoir qui c'est qui joue avant la fin du show. Vous allez se démasquer après, non? Lui, il aura du mal à se démasquer. Et on va continuer le show avec quelque chose qui s'appelle les haricots et pas salé. Mis du gaz sur le feu là. Comment les affaires? Are you jambalaya?
Jambalaya, je crois qu'ils sont peut manger quelque chose, peut-être sous le roux l'hostel. Peut-être boire deux tortilles fraîches.
T'as dû dire que Highway 13 était bloqué.
Ouais, c'est ça, ils sont pas dû.
Ils sont peut-être l'autre bord là-bas. Je ne connais pas tous les virages pour arriver ici, mais une chance que vous autres pouvez venir.
On était fait marcher sur la rue, ils ont dit les autres peuvent jouer la musique. On a dit même, je pense.
Des fois. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
La prochaine chanson, c'est quelque chose que Terry a écrit, je crois. Belle valse pour tous ceux-là qui aimeraient valser. We have any visitors from outside the area? Outside the. Y'all probably don't understand a word I'm saying when I'm speaking French. There's a cure for that. Sorry. Quelque chose qui s'appelle Oh Ma Belle. Everybody who was just dancing, raise your hand if you just fell in love. Ça arrive tout le temps. Hein? Belle valse comme ça. Monsieur Octa Clark disait, tu as une belle valse comme ça, tu me laisses danser avec une fille, il faudra la réveiller à la fin de la danse. Elle sera endormie sur mon épaule. Lawrence Walker était un des magnifiques musiciens dans le temps, des années 50 et 60. Et puis, c'était à peu près dans le même temps que le rock and roll est après arrivé dans la musique cajun. Et puis, il a fait cette chanson ça ici, c'est quelque chose qui s'appelle Lean on Me.
Lean on me. town. Hot dog. When the band began to play, I heard my baby shout. Said, come on, daddy, come dance with me. Forget you've ever been blue. Take my hand, let me swing about and dance to that rock and roll.
A little bit of Cajun rock and roll. Ama connaissance, Lawrence Walker, c'était le premier pour record de Bosco Stomp, c'est ça? I think it was true, huh? Might have been an older song, but I think he was the first one to record that. And c'est une chanson qui est devenue bien populaire. I've been trying to get the UL sports program to use this as an alternative fight song. Seriously. You know how if you go to LSU, you hear ba 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 da, and everybody knows what's going on, right? It's Tiger Rag. I think we could do the same thing. Just give me an opening, Reggie. Ah! You already know you're there. Hit it again. Finish. We'll be right back. Bosco, stop. Imagine the possibilities, right? The Bosco stomp, you played it at a football game, and the whole marching band, the whole marching band is playing it and two-stepping on the field. It's never been done before. ESPN would go nuts. Huh? And it's even called the Bosco stomp. We're going to stomp them. You know, it's a great fight song. I don't know why they don't use it. Une autre chanson, avant l'arrivée de Mardi Gras, quelque chose que Lawrence Walker fait aussi, la base de ma chanson, c'est la favorite chanson de mon père. J'aimerais jouer ça à son honneur. La base de ma chanson, my father was perhaps the luckiest man in the world, and his favorite song was The Unlucky Man's Waltz.
The walkers live on this. It's all about the top. It's with on some papa.
De malchanceux. Terry, you Mardi Gras? Tous les danseurs, trouvez une place pour s'asseoir. Y'all, everybody who's dancing might want to find a seat because we're about to have a raid. Célébrer la saison de Mardi Gras. Monsieur et Madame, le Mardi Gras de Grand Basile. ladies and gentlemen, the Bazio Mardi Gras. Now, according to their custom, they're going to sing, they're going to dance one for you, and then they're going to sing their song, asking you to contribute. And they're very serious about the contribution part. So, I hope you people in the audience have brought coins or small bills. They just as soon get that rather than your Rolex. Right? So. And Tite Vals, pour danser. Madame Doudou, manger des prunes dans le prunier, c'était pour voir la chair, la vie, la Brazil Mardi Gras Association President, Mr. Patti Ryder. Tu veux présenter le monde?
Hein?
Tu veux présenter le capitaine?
Oui. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Patti. I'm the president. This is the one that runs the crew, our captain, Nick Andrus. Co-captain David. Co-captain Pilok. Lady Captain Cassie.
Vous avez chanté votre pièce.
And Todd, and Todd. All right. This is for the people over here. Capitaine, capitaine, bouillard de flaggy à Tocon. La route est grande, la nuit est longue, et les bêtes sont pas invitées. Si les Mardi Gras advient une fois par an de demander de la charité. Une fois par an, c'est pas trop souvent pour vous quand même. Si les Mardi Gras advient de loin, ça devient de longue de terre. Les Mardi Gras, c'est de tout des bons jeunes gens que devient une bonne famille. C'est pas des malfacteurs, c'est juste des chutes en bonheur.
Suite, suite,
toutes les magies, grâce de monde de la maîtrise. Et la maîtresse pour un cheat pour grâce du riz ou de la graisse. Pour faire l'autre gros gambo, ce soir, gros Basile. Tu m'as promené à chi, tu m'as promené à ça, mais tu m'as donné la
part.
Capitaine, capitaine, tu vois, ça peut plus chanter, parce que l'autre gorge est sec. Un bon petit bien frais, les ferrés, j'étais meilleur.
Thank you all so much for coming again.
Thank you all for having us.
Now, you're going to turn them loose on the crowd.
Oh, yeah. Y'all watch yourself now.
And whatever they pick up goes to the gumbo?
Goes to the Basio Mardi Gras Association. It's not for the Mardi Gras. It's for the association.
But pay for the gumbo and the dance and the run?
Everything that we buy and spend on, that's what covers our cost.
So, people in the audience, be generous. This is for a good cause. Le gumbo est beaucoup faible.
I want to tell y'all something else. Tu les mardi gras, on va pas t'oublier une place comme ça à l'autre, on est qui vient?
Y'all being generous out there? Some people visiting from outside the area may be having way more fun than they thought they would tonight. Maybe way more fun than they meant to tonight. Okay. Petite chanson qui s'appelle La Belle de la Campagne.
Elle est la belle de la campagne, elle est la belle de ma hymne. Elle est dite en cachemine, toute quête de la mienne. Elle va jamais parler de le mal qu'elle m'a fait. La petite belle de la campagne va jamais.
Call a culero down. I want a hand for Jambalaya. They're the only band we can count on to not get frazzled when the Bazio Mardi Gras comes in. How about a hand for the Bazio Mardi Gras? And how about a hand for all of you who survived? That's great. I mean, yeah. How about only a break of band just for a quick minute? And I'm going to bring out Mr. George Emanuel to come out and talk to us a little bit about Mardi Gras traditions so that those of you who are visiting from other parts of the area might be able to better understand what's happening to you and around you. Miss Georgie, come on up.
Is that a short joke? I always get short jokes.
Well, long jokes take too much up to the show.
Very good. Welcome. I got so tired after 25 years of coming here every Mardi Gras and trying to think of a new costume, unlike Minnie Mouse, that I thought, wait a minute, have we ever talked about payas?
Payas, yeah, absolutely. That's a good thing to talk about.
Well, I thought it was time to bring it up, and then I figured I'd hand it over to you, since you're the learned payas expert.
Well, the payas was a traditional character in medieval carnival Mardi Gras. He was typically a man, but who knows?
Who knew?
They were very well disguised, and they wore straw, or in this case, burlap bags. And they were representative of sometimes the wildness or, you know...
Malfar.
The payas also means jester or trickster.
Jokester.
And sometimes the traditional payas would wear corn husks or straw or hay as part of their costume. And one of the things they would do is walk next to the horses, and the horses would take a bite of the hay, and they would scream in pain, you know.
They have done that. We've seen them.
But that's a beautiful payas costume.
Well, thank you. I want to be in fashion.
Mm-hmm. Tell them about the bells.
Well, I find it ironic that we dress and mask so that no one knows who we are, and then we load up on bells to let them know we're coming. And every year I tell everyone, be sure that your hands are covered. And this is, what, 24, 25 years in a row? I forgot my gloves again, so what can you say? Slow learner. But I thought, all the years that we've been going to Mardi Gras, invariably there is a payas of some sort that shows up. Mm-hmm. Now, the first mention that I know of a payas, this was prior to World War II. There was a place called Abe's Palace right here up the street on the corner of 2nd Street and Laurel. It was a dance hall, and every Saturday night, everybody came to town, and this was in the horse and buggy days that most of the stories came, and they would have dances all the time, and naturally they would have some for Mardi Gras. And my husband was nothing but maybe 3 or 4 years old at the time that he remembers coming to the Mardi Gras dance at Abe's Palace. And he said there was a lot of noise and a lot of commotion. And all of a sudden it got quiet and people started forming a huge circle in the middle of the dance floor. And everybody backed off. And he said this thing came in. It was a payas. It was burlap stuffed with straw, corn husk, moss, whatever was available. Well, the baling twine is holding up my skirt and my pants underneath. Old ropes, feathers, whatever you could find is what you made your payas out of. And he said he remembers it being on top of, underneath, on either side, and in between everything that was in that dance hall. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. I think we've seen some payases before. In the late 50s, we drove to Mamou. My daddy and a bunch of his friends were running in Mamou, so we were there in time for the parade to come in. And there was a payas. Okay, so we did our thing and took some movies. We drove back to Eunice. Darn if we didn't hit the Eunice group coming in. There was a payas. So I thought, well, now, you know, I have seen payases, and I just didn't know it. But the best payas story I have, for I guess 15 or 20 years, we always lined up at the National Guard Armory on 9th Street. And there was high trailers, low trailers. There was a trailer right in front of the armory, loaded with young Mardi Gras. And there was a payas. It was a big payas. I mean, like big. And I looked at all the moss he had on him, and I could figure he'd be doing this before it was over with. Because if you want to scratch, get some moss that's got red bugs in it. He was there, totally covered in moss. And somebody was just talking and happened to do this and with a cigarette. And the first thing you know, the bougainvillea right here behind the payas. And nobody broke stride, not in the conversation or the whatever was going on, the camaraderie they were experiencing. Two of them just leaned over and poured their beer on the fire. And it was out. And nobody, I'm telling you, nobody missed cadence in whatever they were doing.
It's a good thing they weren't drinking moonshine. It could be.
No, yeah, well, hey.
You would have gone up in a puff of flame.
That was the closest I ever came to seeing somebody, you know, burned at the stake at Mardi Gras. But you cannot believe the stories that we tell you, that the whole point of masking for Mardi Gras is that I don't know who you are, even though I know those two people right there. I don't know who you are, and you're not supposed to know who I am. And for years, we went to Patasa. And there's a big red barn at Patasa. And that's where we stopped at noon. Defunt Patasa run. We stopped at noon. And I happened to be roaming around taking pictures. And here's this payas. And he found him a pretty little blonde girl. And he'd pull on her hair or her shirt. He'd say, falsetto voice, "Come on, give the payas just a little kiss." And she said, "Look, I don't know who you are, but get away. Don't touch me. Leave me alone." And he followed her around, and he followed her around till finally I thought she was going to hit him. He said, "You hit me, and I'll tell Mama." She said, "That's the closest I ever came to wanting to kill my brother." But I thought, if that was not the most perfect example, first of all, of a payas, but a payas dressed at Mardi Gras with the sole purpose of fooling everybody, including his sister.
There you go.
So there's always a payas. There's always somebody wanting to grow up to be a payas. And in my case, it's too late.
But I thought
I'd come as an example of a payas.
Some of us were born payas.
Well, that goes to show you.
This brings up an interesting point that we've discussed in past years for people who are here for the first time. That is the business of the mask. As Georgie suggests, a mask is only fully functional when it's hiding the identity of someone from somebody else who would otherwise know them. I mean, you know, if you fly in from Spokane and put a mask on, that's fine. I mean, you might be having a great time. And it may enable you to play a role. It may, you know, liberate you because you have a mask on. People are not looking at your face. It may liberate you to play more than you might ordinarily do. But the mask is not really fully functional because they wouldn't know you if you took your mask off. But as George is saying, if you succeed in fooling your wife or your brother or your uncle or your sister or your brother, then it's really functioning.
We make and have been for 30, 40 years now making masks. But in addition to that, I collect them. And I had a very good example of one made prior to 1900 hanging on the fireplace. And one year, one of our kids said, "I can't come back." He spent the week in here, went back to Baton Rouge, and said, "I'm not coming back." I said, "Well, okay, it's your loss." So we get to Mardi Gras, and we're working on light connections on the trail or something. And this Mardi Gras is standing there staring at us. And it creeps up behind my husband and starts pulling the wallet out of his pocket, trying to unbutton his shirt, standing in front of him, Alan would put a tool down and the Mardi Gras would pick it up. And I looked across and I thought, "My, that's a nice mask." I thought, "Guess so, it's mine." And I thought, now how, you're going to try to explain to me how my mask got from over there to over here till I realized that son of a gun had lied to me. He came in from Baton Rouge. He waited till we left, snuck in my house, got a costume, and put on my prize mask. Alan says, do you know who that Maury Groy is? I said, yeah, I was there when he was born. So you never know at Mardi Gras. Don't misjudge anybody. Somebody picking on you is probably somebody that knows you well enough to feel comfortable doing it. And you'll be a better person for it.
Now, for those of people who are visiting, how many people visiting from outside the area who are here for the first time looking at Mardi Gras?
Okay.
So play along. Don't fight it. Well, you can try, but it won't work.
Mm-mm. But that's a good way to end up in a ditch.
Yeah, don't fight it. You might want to try to go somewhere, if you haven't already done this, go to a store somewhere and see if they'll give you a roll of nickels or a roll of quarters. Because they're going to get something. And it just as soon not be your shoes or your glasses.
Or your firstborn.
Or your firstborn.
Or your pants.
Or my pants.
Or your pants.
Yeah.
Now, he laughs, but he lost his pants to a group of women one year.
Not completely.
Oh,
not
well.
Completely.
That's not what I heard.
Due to poor planning and tight boots,
okay,
the plan failed. But what I was going to say is,